Today we shall talk about a subject that all of us are faced with from time to time in our life, more often than we would like. And the subject is the subject of compromise. Should I compromise? And we find that when we are on the spiritual pursuit, there are two directions in our life. One is the secular, that is the worldly, that deals with material success and power and wealth. And the other one is the spiritual. And at times, we find that we are split. Which one is the right path for me to take? And should I compromise? And in this struggle, we often end up with mental stress and strain because my mind says one thing and my intellect says the other. My spiritual teaching says something else, but the worldly media and the press and the people say something else. In the Upanishad, this has been described as the path of prayer and shreya. Prayer means the path of good, the path of fun, the path of something that is joy. And they say that this path in the beginning appears very good. Aha, everything is fine. Everything is wonderful. I'm enjoying myself. But sooner or later, that path leads to problems, leads to misery. While the path of shreya, or the path of good, is the path that in the beginning seems difficult. You know, I have to be good. I have to struggle. Everybody else is going one direction. I have to swim against the current. And a person swimming against the current always is pressured, is ridiculed, has a hard time. But they say in the long run, it is that path that in the beginning may seem hard, but in the end, it gives you more permanent, everlasting joy. And who are the people who are faced with this question, should I compromise? See, there are three kinds of people in this world. One is the masters, the enlightened masters, or maybe not even to the level of Jesus or Buddha or Moses, but the ones who are on the spiritual path, who are very convinced, who are very evolved. And for them, there is no doubt. They have seen their path. They have chosen their direction. And for them, they have no doubt in their mind. This is the one path I'm going to choose. And on the other hand are the out-and-out materialists who know that the only goal in life is khao piyo maja karo, eat, drink, and be merry. And for them, again, there is no doubt. You know, they say, forget who has seen heaven or hell. What, you know, all these Bible and Quran were written thousands of years ago by some people wandering in the desert, or some rishi sitting in the forest in the Himalayas. He didn't know about this modern life with the computers and the technology and the fast cars and the rockets. They're just babbling of madmen. So why do you waste your time? Let us enjoy life. And life is short. You know, they say life is too short. So enjoy it. You only live once. You know, that is there. So have fun and enjoy yourself. And if you have to step over a few people's heads and crush some people and cheat, so what? You know, who cares? And have fun. Life is meant to be enjoyed. And so these people, again, have no doubt. They are very clear. And on the other hand, those masters, and they are very clear. It is the people in between who are still under the grip of materialism. They still want to work and earn and enjoy and life. And then the whole media and all the TVs and everybody's telling them, you know, there is this new car you have to buy, this new house, this new lifestyles of the rich and famous. And they show you all that, you know. And then, you know, this new jewelry and this new dress and this fashion models and, you know, all that. And so the pressure is there to accomplish. And then they have unfortunately read a little bit of the Gita or the Upanishads or the Bible. Or they have met a few teachers who tell them, no, this is not the path for you. And so now they are in doubt, you know, which should I do? You know, there are these few people who are telling me to do this, and the majority is there. And so it is this people in the middle who ask this question, should I compromise? And so they are the ones to whom we shall try to talk to and address this subject of should we compromise. And why should we compromise and how should we compromise? Or even should we compromise at all? So somebody made a very famous statement. There was this monk from the Ramakrishna Mission, which is a very famous mission in India called the Vedanta Society in the US. And he made a very famous statement. He said, "In opinions, swim with the current. In principle, stand firm as a rock." So what do we mean by opinion and what do we mean by principles? What I consider my principles, somebody may all say, it's just your opinion. And what somebody says, it doesn't matter, it's just a matter of opinion. Another person might say, no, you know, that is very important, that's very essential. So what is the opinion and what is the principle and where should I compromise and where should I not? Let us figure out what do we mean by principle. Principle is something which will take me to my essential goal. And principle is something that does not change with time. And opinion can change. You know, there was one time when communism was the rage. You know, everybody said Karl Marx's theories are going to revolutionize the world. And Khrushchev sat on the United Nations and said, "We will bury you." And we find that, you know, where is communism? Even in the communist countries, they are more capitalist than us. And so that is something that was very prevalent at one time is not. You know, and all these other theories of banking and, you know, finance and economics and philosophy and culture and fashion, and they come and go. So whatever comes and goes cannot be a principle. It has to be an opinion. Opinion is that which was always correct, is correct, and will continue to be correct in the future. And principle is that which will take me to my essential goal. And what is my essential goal? What is my ultimate goal? They say that the ultimate goal of every human being, you ask everybody and they'll give you 8 or 10 opinions. And you know, I want this, I want that, I want to be this. But if you get down to the bottom line, there are 3 things that everybody wants. No matter how many different ideas and different opinions they may have, but when you bring it down to the bottom, there are 3 things they want: happiness, perfection, and freedom. You ask anybody, do you want to be happy? Yes. Do you want to be happy today? Is it okay if you're happy today and unhappy tomorrow? No. I want to be happy today and tomorrow. Is it okay if you're happy all of this 2011? But from 2012 will make you unhappy. No. I want to be happy forever. Same thing, perfection. Everybody wants to be perfect. Nobody wants to be imperfect. Nobody wants to do things that are wrong. And then everybody wants to be free. Even a prisoner, even everybody. So happiness, perfection, and freedom are the goals of every human being. And when we look for permanent happiness, not happiness for 1 year, 10 years, 15 years, then as we had talked even in the Sunday class, if you want permanent happiness, you have to look in permanent things. We are looking for permanent happiness in temporary things, in people, in positions, in power. So if you're looking for permanent happiness, you have to look it in something or somebody that is permanent, that was always there, is there, and will continue to be there. So principles that are permanent lead us to that permanent being, whom you can call Allah or God or Father in heaven or Krishna or Waheguru or Jesus. It doesn't matter what you call him, but it is that permanent entity. And so they say that if you want permanent happiness, do not seek it in temporary things, but seek it in permanent things. Seek that is permanent. And anything that takes me away from this goal of God realization, which is the same as self-realization, should be abandoned. And so they say when it comes to principles, you stand firm as a rock. But when it comes to opinions, you know, swim with the current. In our case, I was the opposite. You know, I feel so strongly. This movie, I must go. You know, when two people are arguing which movie to go and watch, which restaurant to eat dinner in, what color should we paint the wall of the kitchen, what car to buy. I mean, these are not things, but we find that people get divorced over such issues. And people have major conflicts, you know, whether it's who is better, Republican or Democrat. How does it matter? You know, yes, if you are a leader, if you are a politician and you are running the country and you have been elected on Republican principles, yeah, you stand for Republican if you have been elected on Democrat. And if you feel strongly, yes, you go vote. But we find that people are sitting in the living room or in the kitchen and get into such major arguments and make enmity. I mean, how does it matter? You know, if you are not running the country, why do you get so worked up about, you know, politics and economic philosophy and, you know, the collapse of the dollar and the euro? I mean, we get so excited about things that are really not that important. Yeah, you know, it's okay. Okay, we agree to disagree. You feel this way? Okay, that's fine. Today we go to the movie of your choice. Tomorrow we go to the restaurant of my choice. So in matters of opinion, it is okay to compromise, to swim with the tide, to go along with the current. It's not that important. It's not the end of the world. But in matters of principle, we find that often people are faced with a doubt. I'd like to give you an example. Now, there is an owner of a business. He finds that in his business, he's meeting major competition. Cheap products are coming from China, and my competitor across the street is using illegal labor and cutting costs and you know, maybe getting products that are substandard and making products that are, you know, shoddy and then marketing them and selling them. And he is very successful. He is growing and I am not. And so the question comes, should I compromise on my principle? Should I sell products that are below quality? Should I cheat the customers or should I do some unethical means? If I don't do that, my business might go under, and it is already going under. He finds that his business is going down. A lot of his people that he was supplying to, his buyers are switching to the other guy across the street because his product is cheap, and he's faced with that dilemma. Should I compromise? Or there is a lady who is a bookkeeper in the office, and her boss tells her that, you know, we are paying too much taxes. Let us just cook the books a little bit. You know, we can show the less income. We can show more expenses, you know, manipulate the accounts a little bit. And there's some cash money. We don't have to declare it. And she's the one who gets all the money. And the employer is putting pressure on her. And if she says, if I don't compromise, I'm going to be fired from the job. And maybe he'll get another bookkeeper who is more receptive. And she needs the job. She's divorced. She has two children to take care of. And the job market is tight. So in that kind of a situation for that business person or that bookkeeper, the question comes, should I compromise? Should I give in to the lower impulses? You know, because everybody is doing it. You know, if I don't do it, somebody else will. So they say that what is bondage? As I said, everybody wants to be free. So they say that bondage is what ties me to my negative impulses. Every time I give in to a negative impulse, where I compromise, where I cheat, where I violate my essential principles, I am going away from my spiritual goal and getting more attached to the worldly imperfections. So I'm slowly dying to that spiritual goal and slowly, you know, getting tied down, getting bound. But the more I evolve on the spiritual path, the more I give up the attachments, the bondages, the hold of the world upon me. The world has this hold and it's pulling me down. It's like a lead weight. And if I have a bunch of lead weights and I have this balloon, and the balloon, I want to fly up, but these lead weights, so every time I use a scissor and cut one of the thread and the second weight, and the lighter my balloon gets. And ultimately, when all of them are cut, I'm free to go up in the stratosphere, go as far as the balloon will take me. And so on the spiritual path, we are constantly being weighed down by these negativities, by these imperfections, by these wrong beliefs. And if I have to evolve spiritually, if I have to fly high, if I have to become like Jesus or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda or Guru Nanak or Mahavir or Buddha, I have to give up this hold of this world, and I have to fly like the balloon, free in the stratosphere. So they say for that, you have to have love. You have to have love for your goal. You have to know what is your goal in life and firmly believe in it, and total love, total identification, total certainty that this is my goal in life and this is my purpose in life. So love is the most important means to reach that goal. Unless I love my goal, I'm not going to put effort. Talking about love reminds me of this little joke. There was this couple who were chief guests at a charity fundraiser. And so the husband and wife were sitting on the head table. And between the husband and wife was the president of this charity. And so the three of them were on the head table having the dinner. And after the dinner, the man, since he was the chief guest and a patron donor, was supposed to get up and give a speech. And there was a large audience. And as the speaker was being introduced by one of the members, the wife passes a note to the husband, and he gives it to the president of the charity organization, who was in the middle, and says, "Can you give that note to my husband?" And on the note, it was said, "Kiss," K-I-S-S. And so the guy passes the note to the husband, and who was supposed to get up and speak, and he says, "Your wife has sent you a kiss. She must really love you. You know, just before you're getting up to speak, she sends you a kiss. She must really love you." He says, "You don't know my wife. KISS stands for keep it short, stupid." That's what she's saying. So not that kind of love. What we mean is where there is a total identification that this goal, that God realization is what I want. And once you have that total identification, total love, total commitment, then for such a person to stay to the principles is not difficult. Because he or she has understood that what is important in life and what will take me on the spiritual path. And he knows or she knows that what will take me on the spiritual path is not only understanding the scriptures but practicing them. Practicing the values that are there in the Ten Commandments, that are there in the Bhagavad Gita, that are there in the Guru Granth Sahib, the Dharmapada of Buddhism. And these values like charity, truthfulness, courage, compassion, love, unselfishness, willingness to sacrifice, willingness to suffer the pinpricks of life. And these principles or values, they know that this is something is essential. I have to practice. And on the other hand, the opposite, you know, things like selfishness, greed, jealousy, hatred, anger, violence, these are something I have to stay away from. So when the person's goal is clear, then the path also becomes very clear. So on the one hand are the good values. On the other hand are the negative values. And then in the middle are these small, small things which are not that important. If they are not important to my essential goal, it's okay. I either give it up or I compromise. It's okay. It's just not going to make a difference, you know, which restaurant I go to or not. Is that going to make a difference in my spiritual evolution or what color the wall is or no? So he or she knows what is their goal. And then when it comes to the goal, when it comes to the principles, that person is willing to stand firm regardless of the problems, regardless of the obstacles. You might say, yeah, but you know, that person may lose his business that we had talked about, or that lady may get fired from the job, the bookkeeper. But the scriptures tell us, first of all, that even if it happens in the pursuit of that, so be it. Let it happen. And secondly, you have to remember that once you are on His path, once you are on the spiritual path, then it becomes His duty to take care of you. And it is said very, very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says very clearly, the Lord says, those who think about me and work for me, then it becomes my responsibility to take care of those people. I am the one then who takes care of them. I am the one who makes sure that. So they say when the support of your whole universe, the Lord of the whole universe is with you, why do you have to fear? Who can put you down? It says very clearly that once He is taking care of you, then the whole world may be against you. But there is a very famous saying. This says, Baal na banka kar sake jo jag beri ho. He says, the whole world may be against you, but they cannot even bend a hair of your head once you are on the spiritual path, because then it becomes His job to take care of you. And we find so many examples in our spirituality of great saints who were involved in this spiritual path. And they say that once you are involved in this spiritual path, you realize that the fears are imaginary. You had this fear, oh, I might lose my job or I might lose my business. But it happens that the Lord of the universe makes your path easy, or the circumstances become such, like the other person whose competitor is doing unethical things. We may find that he may get arrested or he may get put behind bars, or his people may realize that he's a crook, or somehow or the other, this person's business does well, or this person's job does well, or this person's, you know, it picks up. And they say that once you have put your foot towards him, he says, you come take one step towards me and I come running towards you. He says, you call out to me one time, the Lord says, ek bar pukaro, you call me one time, and main ji ji karun das bair. He says, you call me one time and I say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, 10 times. That's what the Lord has promised in the scriptures, that all you have to do is step your foot in that direction, be firm, strong, stand firm on your principles, and then watch how the path becomes clear, how things become very, very. And what you fear, you know, that this may happen and that may happen. Either it may not happen at all, or even if it happens, He is there to cushion the blow. He is there to protect you, to shield you. There is a very famous story. There's a very famous saint called Narsimh Mehta, who was in West India, Gujarat, and he had written hundreds of songs in praise of the Lord, was a very great saint, and spent all his life in worship and, you know, serving. And even till today, his songs are sung in the radio, on the TV, and they are, you know, so popular, and people, and his songs are not only full of love for the Lord, but have great philosophy and great moral teachings and values. Very wonderful saint. He was married and he had a daughter. And as most of these saintly people, he was not interested in, you know, worldly pursuits. You know, never owned much money. If anybody came, he just gave away what he had if somebody was suffering. And it so happened his daughter had to get married. And in India, if the daughter is getting married, you are supposed to host the groom and his family, not only for dinner, but sometimes for 2-3 days. And so now his wife was getting married, that our daughter is getting married tomorrow and the groom's family is on the way. They're going to be here tonight and we don't have money to feed them. We don't have, you know, we haven't paid for the hotel. The hotel owner is coming and asking for his deposit. And this guy is, you know, he's happy, he's fine. So he said, aren't you worried? He said, it's okay, everything will be okay. And then suddenly, two businessmen from that particular village come to their house and knock on the door. And they say, are you Narsimh Mehta? He says, yeah. He says, well, we have this 10,000 rupees. You know, this is like, in those days, 10,000 rupees was like several thousand dollars. We have this money for you. So he says, where did I get this money from? Why do I deserve? They said, you know what? We were traveling in a distant city in Banaras, which was 500 miles away. And we had gone there for business and we were supposed to come back. And yesterday we were in the marketplace and this beautiful golden chariot came, golden, very decorated. And this man got down from the chariot and from head to toe he was covered in jewels, had the finest clothes and looked very royal and looked very brilliant. And we didn't know who he was. We thought maybe he's some great king or some emperor or some very noble person, very, very brilliant. And then he came to us and he said, you know, are you from this village? And we said, yeah. When we were afraid, who is this grand person getting down from the carriage to talk to us? And this person says, and in that village, do you know there is a person called Narsi Mehta? He said, yeah, we have heard. Narsi, he was no relation to me, please. So they said, have you heard? Yeah, we have heard about this person. He's a, you know, he's an ordinary person. He does some job and he loves to sing and all. You know, but I owe him money. What, you with this grand old chair, and he lives in a small little hut in a small village in Gujarat. You owe him money? He says, yeah, I had to borrow money from him one time and I really have to give it back to him. So they say, how much? He says, this 10,000 rupees. I heard you're going back tomorrow. They said, yeah, we're going back. Can you please return it to him? I borrowed this from him many years ago. I'm sure he will recognize. Just tell him. And they said, the chariot just went away. And the man came and this is the money we have for you. And the Narsi Mehta, tears came to his eyes. He said, who was that? He knew who it was. He said, I have never lent money to anybody. So it had to be the Lord himself who came down and, you know, sent me this money. And with that, he takes care of his daughter's guests and the wedding goes off well. And he was just crying. He just, you know, nothing, even words could not come out of gratitude. He said, oh, how merciful you are, how compassionate you are, that you worry about, I am a nobody. I'm just an ordinary person, you know, sitting in an ordinary village, just doing my duty. And I have not done anything great. And so that is the beauty of this path, that once you follow this, then the road miraculously opens. So that's what they say, that compromise when it comes to opinions, but when it comes to principles, no. That should be your goal, that should be your purpose. And once you do that, then only you can evolve spiritually. For somebody to progress, he or she has to be very firm. Decide what is my goal, what is essential, what is important, and then practice it to the last breath. That is the answer to the question. Thank you.